Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode.
I went to a really interesting presentation on the future of work, and I'm delighted to have the person who did the presentation here this morning. Thank you, Brian Powell, for being a guest. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Joanne.
I know that you have a really stellar career as an HR, human resource executive. And I remember that you're also an attorney. Your focus is on, if I'm correct, transforming leadership. And in your current role as Chief Human Resource Officer for the Community Solution in, what is it? The Community Solution Education System. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
So tell us about the organization and about your role as CHRO and how you're being transformational.
So the Community Solution Education System is a new and I think very progressive way of providing educational access and student success across the nation, if not the world. We are a membership-driven organization, meaning that we have a system office where I work, and we have affiliated institutions that join us. And the benefit that they receive is shared infrastructure, shared expertise, and the ability to leverage economies of scale in ways that independent colleges and universities often struggle to do. And so through this kind of association, they gain access to not only top shelf technology and leading experts in the field, but they also get to refocus their finite capital on our faculty and staff. And so it is a way for universities to really reinvent themselves and to thrive in an increasingly competitive market, if you will, that is higher ed. My role as the Chief Human Resources Officer is to oversee the workforce planning and workforce development strategy for all of our institutions, working closely with presidents, with heads of HR locally, and other thought leaders within their organizations and the system generally, to really advance that mission. And so we are predicated on transformation, transforming the higher ed experience. And as you mentioned, my history has been one of transformative leadership, really focusing on human capital and human resources as a strategy, not just a cost item on the balance sheet.
Very interesting. At some point, I do want to talk about your life before TCES, but right now I want to jump into the content from your presentation on the future of work. And I should say at the outset that this is going to be a multi-visit conversation. We will not get to cover everything in our time together. So all my listeners, he's going to be back. We're going to go deeper. I want to talk about four things that are big issues for the clients that I work with, mid to senior level executives. One is the geographic shifts in the workplace, in the workforce. The second one is the automation that AI is bringing, that lots of people are fleeing from and other people are running to. Third thing is the new skills that are bringing about less jobs, but new jobs because of AI. And fourth, how do organizations upskill? I've heard you use that term and I like it. Specifically, I want to talk about how leaders upskill themselves. So I want to start with the geographic shifts in the workplace. Are you talking, when you say that, about the fact that so many jobs are overseas, or are you talking about remote workers? Just help me understand geographic shifts.
It's kind of all of the above. So we have two new generations that are taking the majority of the workforce, millennials and Gen Z. By the end of this decade, they will be 59, 60% of the workforce. It's quite staggering. And they have very different relational expectations for their employer. They're also products of the information era since they were children. So their worldview is shaped very differently than those of the people in leadership, boomers and Xers like myself. And given that, and given their immersion into what I have called 20 years of trauma from 2000 with 9/11 all the way through the pandemic, you have this what I call the trauma of hyperconnectivity. And so they are looking at life through a very different lens, and they are really emphasizing quality of life and lived experience much more differently than their predecessors. And that accelerated by the pandemic really opened very new opportunities. Technology has been a great enabler. And so we're seeing a geographic shift both in the US and then globally. In the US, we're seeing many people's opting for quality of life relocation, less expensive areas. And so you're seeing a migration into the Sun Belt. So we're seeing not only in terms of higher ed enrollment for students, but certainly just in the workforce generally, the Northeast, the Midwest. These are areas where we're experiencing significant geographic shifts away from and into the Sun Belt states, Arizona, Texas, Florida, the Southeast. And so that is really changing the availability of local of the local economy, the local labor economy. And so employers in these areas need to be conscientious of this shift. Now, extrapolate that globally because of what technology has done. And we're actually seeing individuals in emerging tech centers across the world, Nigeria and Kenya, booming tech hubs. So Nairobi is actually called the Silicon Savannah. But we're seeing
I
it
did
also.
not know that.
It
Did not
is.
know that.
It has one of the largest growing tech centers in the continent of Africa. But we're also looking at this emergence in South America, São Paulo, Colombia, and Chile being some, and then Vietnam. So you have this worldwide tech phenomenon, which is connectivity, and it's allowing employers to tap new skills, new perspectives on life, and in some ways, also really take advantage of very different costs of living that exist that really do help employers with their bottom line. And so, this geographic shift, which is kind of accelerated by a demographic shift with the generational transitions in the workforce, is just upending our workforce at the same time that you have the influx of AI, machine learning, automation, and robotics causing additional upheaval. And so it's like this great laboratory or perfect storm, depending on your perspective, and what the workforce is going to be over the next 25 years. It's quite extraordinary.
That is really, really a lot to digest and
It
a
is.
lot for people to think about. So, AI, 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 talk about the perfect storm and a lot to digest. Who's impacted by it? Who isn't impacted by it is the question. And who isn't curious about it? So, tell me, what is this automation of AI doing to employees and to employers?
Well, you have two questions there. A, everyone is impacted. There is nothing that we do now that is not impacted by AI, machine learning, big data. It's kind of a big bucket of things. I just use the term AI. Nothing is sacred anymore. Everything is touched by AI. And it's creating a lot of opportunity and a lot of stress for both employers and employees. So employers are facing the prospect of cost because technology is expensive. Now, the great thing is that when AI is not a new phenomenon, but it's become recently available. And meaning it's the economies of scale are such that it's affordable. It's not futuristic anymore. And so how does an employer modify their existing workforce, their existing business architecture, processes? What are candidates for automation? What are we doing? Now, against the backdrop of demographic shifts, which are and geographic shifts, they're kind of interwoven, as well as declining birth rates in the industrialized world, Europe and America. This is a great opportunity, but it's also very fearful. Now, employees, on the other hand, are waking up to what is, it's kind of like, it's reminiscent to me of the late 70s and early 80s, when people thought computers were going to take all the jobs. And
I remember that.
yeah, me too, right? And it's the same fear, right? AI is going to take all the jobs. What is the meaning of work if the work is done by machines, essentially? And so you have a great deal of anxiety injected into the workforce that we need to be sensitive to, and particularly with the workforce itself, because these are people who grew up in the, in the trauma of hyperconnectivity. These are individuals who have significant stressors in their lives, and now this. And so you have some employees really looking at AI, not understanding whether it's an ally or an adversary. Is it, an ally or a competitor? Maybe it's a better way to look at it. So you have that. Yet at the same time, people are starting to dabble. I think generative AI through applications like ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, Gemini. These are tools that people are leveraging to do their work differently and to make it easier. That's where we need to focus, because it's the opportunity economy that we're looking at. AI and the automation and the robotics that come from it can actually make work better. It will allow individuals to do less mundane ministerial tasks as the plurality or majority of their job and refocus their attention elsewhere. It's scary because it's new learning, but at the same time, it is completely incredibly powerful. And that is where we need to focus our attention. And so employers need to be conscientious that this is coming, it is here. How you actually receive and incorporate it into your organizations is going to make the difference between your competitive advantage with the workplace that is going to increasingly rely on these tools, and your bottom line. So your listeners should be balancing both the promise and the fear, and understanding how to leverage one and mitigate the other.
Thinking about the skills, because you just mentioned the skills, and even this whole balancing act that you just talked about requires some skills. So, what are the leadership skills required to introduce, leverage, diminish the fear of AI? And some of these skills will make some leaders more employable, but the reality is it is putting some people out of work. So, what are your thoughts on that conundrum for leaders?
It's interesting. I'm a big consumer of information, and certainly I think that is a skill every leader needs to be practicing, because this is an emergent situation and you need to be consuming information at an almost daily rate. And one area of information, or one area of thought, which I think is really spot on, I've modified it a little bit, is SHRM, the Society of Human Resource Management, which is probably HR's biggest organization in the United States. They have coined the term HI plus AI, human intelligence and artificial intelligence,
I like that. I like that.
to really show the partnership. And I think it's really fitting, and we can unpack that. But I've kind of modified that a little bit, because the skills are what's important. And so I actually prefer to call it EQ and AI, because I think emotional intelligence is the make or break skill set for leaders of today and tomorrow. And I think that that's really pragmatic, if you will, because there are certain things that we can talk about what all AI can do, But there are some things AI can't do. AI is not personified. It lacks consciousness. Even though it can make decisions, it lacks consciousness. Most importantly, it lacks emotion. And so I think for those who struggle with the idea of AI taking their jobs, or it's a new skill set, and I'm afraid to learn technology, I would say don't be, because it's not an ally, it's not a competitor, it's really an accentuator. And what it will do is it will augment human capabilities from a leader down to the frontline worker. And so when you start looking at the skills needed by leadership, you have what I call the humanistic skill set that's going to be in focus. Things that AI simply cannot replicate: active listening, empathy, communication, critical thinking, creative thinking, cultural competencies. This is a great area to lean into. If you're strong in that skill set, be stronger. If you're not as strong in that, there are mentorship programs. There's coursework. There's so much you can do to actually develop these skills, so that you can be more creative and innovative, more collaborative, more mindful, and more adaptable. Because at the end of the day, adaptability is the currency. We are in a highly fluid, highly emergent situation, and leaders who do not shrink from this responsibility, leaders who are on their toes instead of on their heels, developing their
I
EQ,
like that. On their toes instead of on their heels. I like that.
You have to be in the you have to be in the place of really understanding, through the humanistic lens, what is going on in your workforce, how you can mitigate concerns and fear, amplify your own skill set while amplifying others, and lean into these areas so that you can be a thought leader, and an authentic one at that, because I think that authenticity is one of the most underrated, unspoken humanistic skills that leaders must bring to the day-to-day workforce.
So, there's nothing you've said that I disagree with. However, I know leaders who have said to me, I don't have to worry about this AI. It is never going to come into my world. I am a physician, I treat people and I touch people, and I don't ever have to worry about this. And people, I'm just using that as an example, but I've heard people say that it's not going to touch me, so I don't really have to worry about that. I think they're in denial, but is it possible that there are some roles or functions that are never going to be touched by AI?
Well, the attorney in me will say, never say never. So I have to start there. But it's unfathomable to me. Now, what I could say is that an individual, so one thing in the demographic shift that we have to keep in mind is every day in the United States, 10,000 boomers are retiring. That is a statistic from the US government, Bureau of Labor Statistics. So perhaps within that segment of the workforce, which is literally out the door, maybe that's a reality for them. And I think what I'd interpret that meaning is they do not have the worry, if that's the emotion, to actually have to implement and lead a workforce through this transformation. But they will be impacted. We are impacted by AI in ways that we are not even aware. And I'll give you a great example. As agriculture is shifting, which produces food, we all have to consume food. Leveraging satellite imagery and machine learning and data analytics and artificial intelligence, we are learning as we go through climate change. We are learning how to harness that power to predict weather patterns, to predict resource availability, and to understand changing conditions that will impact soil and growing conditions for the food we produce. That is all AI and machine learning, and yet we're all impacted by it. So that's like a very big picture. But locally, whether you are using a rideshare app or a grocery store app, all of these things are informed by AI. Your buying preferences are informed by AI, and that's logged. And as I like to say of the internet, in the information era, you can create your own reality on your screen, and that's exactly what AI is doing. It's creating your reality through your preferences and your patterns. So we're all touched by it, but I also would say to anyone who's skeptical, let's let the 10,000 people per day exit the workforce, and maybe they don't have to leave this enterprise. Over the next 5 years, those of us who remain behind are going to have to lead it. And there is severe anxiety. I know people, I work with people
Yes.
who are concerned about, will AI take my job? And, I think we can get there in a different conversation, but the answer is yes. And there's an opportunity for you to apply yourself in new ways to contribute to your organization's mission and outcome.
I like that. We're going to continue this conversation. I appreciate you being my guest today. Next time, I want to talk about the talent pipeline and something that you've called the fourth industrial revolution. I never heard that term until I was at your presentation. So I want to dive deeper with you. And as I mentioned at the beginning, we're going to continue this conversation. So thank you, and we'll talk very soon. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.